Good evening, Abayisai. Good evening. Good evening. Hope everybody's okay. Apologies again about the two shu'im. Sunday, Monday, I was abroad for canceling those two shu'im. I'll share with you an incident that took place. I was zeicher to go to Hungary to Kibbutz Ovos. I want to share with you an incident that was mamash inspired me tremendously. I went to Kibbutz Ovos, Kibbutz Tzaddikim. And there was a person who took us around in Hungary. He's a very—if you can think of the most simple person. Nebuchadnezzar was brought up in the communist years. I don't think he can read. I know he can't read. He knows no idea about Torah mitzvahs. As simple, as basic as a person can be, not only from the Kurdish side and Torah mitzvahs, but generally a very, very unlit, very, 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 very simple person. But very kind, very nice person, but very, very, mama, she knows, I had no idea. As I was talking to him, obviously he didn't speak English, but indirectly, a conversation with him, he tells me that he has two children, and both of them, in conversation, turns out they live in Eretz Yisrael. And then it turns out that they're both married, and they both have children themselves, and they live in Eretz Yisrael. One of them is in Yerushalayim. Both in Yerushalayim. And then he tells me that both his children are married. I don't know if it's sons or daughters. They're married into proper Israeli spouses. And he said they don't speak Hungarian. They only speak Yiddish at home. So I was thinking that he's such a rachmanis. I had rachmanis with this person because he's got no Torah, no mitzvahs. I was standing by him, but I davened with him next the following day. Mamash no clue. I'm honest with him. What is he going to, after 120, I was thinking to myself, he's going to go up there. He's going to ask him, okay, what are you coming with? And Nebuch is going to say, I'm an owner, it's not my fault, but he's got nothing. And it's nobody to blame, but I'm saying, Nebuch, mamash empty-handed. But then in conversation, it turns out, when I was talking to him, so he was telling me that the children live in Eretz Yisrael, and they speak in Yiddish at home. And then he says, how do you communicate with them? He says, well, actually, I can't communicate to my children-in-law, and I can't communicate to my grandchildren. He said he can't talk to them because they can't speak Hungarian, and he can't speak a word of Yiddish. And there's no common language. It means he literally can't talk. The only communication base they have is they occasionally can send pictures or drawings or colorings, but he can't communicate. So I told him it must be really, really hard for you. I mean, you've got grandchildren who live in Israel, and you can't communicate with them. And then he tells me the following. He says, difficult? And he completely to me, Mr. He says, difficult? What do you mean? I pushed for it, all my koyach, I pushed for it. I knew that if they are going to stay in Hungary, they're going to marry out. I knew they're going to marry out if they stay in Hungary. They're going to marry out. So I spent all my money and all my savings and everything I had and all my koach and all my emotional strength I had. I convinced them to move to Eretz Yisrael. And I knew very well that there's going to be a cost. And the cost will be that the next generation will be able to communicate to me. But that's all I wanted was that they should move there. And I was thinking to myself, look at that. This is a person who sacrificed the relationship to his closest, in order they should live as Yidden. Now, who of us, I mean, I can talk about myself, I don't think I'd be able to sacrifice relationship to my closest in order they should get closer to the Ibn Shalom, he knew very well, he's not going to be able, he's going to lose his own personal relationship, but as long as they don't marry out, as long as they are going to progress in Torah and Yiddishkeit, in their limited level, I don't know where they're up to, but he sacrificed his personal relationship to his family. Now, who can do that? It's unbelievable in Seos Nefesh. When a person like this, with the most basic, he's done what not many others can do. I was very inspired by that. Personal Seos Nefesh. Okay, we're up to Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, and we're up to Siman Beis. We learned in Siman Aleph, in bottom page 198, We learned in the Simon Kuf Tzadivov introduced the concept that not only when it comes to Zimun do we need to be eating together physically and have a kvias together, but beyond that as well, there is an obligation that kvias is a concept that kvias is only if you're all eating something which is permitted to eat. We learned that if somebody eats dovo or osu, if somebody eats a forbidden food item, that will not join for that, you can't do Zimun. One person eats an avela tefer, somebody eats basar b'chalav, somebody eats any food item which is osu, you can't ask him, do you mind to do Zimun with us? Because it's not considered eating together. Following on that, basing oneself on that, Shulchan Aruch continues to receive base, him ochal dva isu pimkoim sakona. If a person eats dovo isu, a forbidden food, bimkoim sakona, in a sakona situation, mevorchin olav you make a bracha ve'ayin lekamantzim reish dalet. What is he talking about is the Sif Cotton Hey Mishneh Berurah explains two lines from the bottom. Dva isu ve'afilu ochal isu deraisa b'makom sakona. Even if it's deraisa food, which is eaten in a sakon, it's a dangerous situation, such as, for instance, somebody has got a very dangerous illness, cholila, and the only food that he has by eating something also. Does he make a bracha? Question number one. And question number two, does he join for Zimun or not? If he's eaten something also. He's eaten something also. It's a dangerous situation. He needs that food as a refuah to heal. But it's davar asu. Does it make a bracha? Yes or no? Shulchan Aruch says, "Im achal davar isu b'makom mevorchin, you make a bracha." So Rabbi said, "We're learning over here a very important yesod. If somebody is eating something which is asu, but he's doing this because of danger, yes, he does make a bracha on Shulchan Aruch. Ve'atam, and the reason is the kimen the sakana hu heterik ochel. Very lomdish. Why do you think? What's the hezba? What's the explanation for it? What's the explanation? Why do you think?" It's okay to make a bracha. It's forbidden. It's forbidden.
Life.
Yeah. Or.
For the person's benefit.
So very much like this, Mishneh Berurah's word is hetere ka'ochel. It's actually what you say. It's forbidden. It's not forbidden. He is allowed to eat it, as you said. V'chai bohem. Torah wants us to live. Torah wants us to live, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. So therefore, if you're eating something which really is a forbidden item, but you are eating it because of a dangerous situation, then you're meant to eat it. So if you're meant to eat it, you can make a bracha on it. Yeah.
When we talk about sakanas and fashas in terms of the Shabbos, talk about
tchuya.
Tchuya.
Yeah.
Tchuya.
Well, in the Shabbos, it's all machlokes. We're not going into it.
But that's the hakra.
Why are you so convinced?
It's not so poshut.
But okay, let's go with that for the moment. Yeah.
So I'm just curious to know why here. This is also a deraisa, also a kasan avashas. What's the difference? Here it's a hutra and there it's a...
Why do you learn that it's hutra just because you make a bracha?
He says it's
heterek ochel. You're eating something. You're eating something which is permitted. You don't have to learn necessarily that it's hutra because of that. He said you're eating something which is permitted. As simple as that. He continues, mitzvah, you have to eat it. If a person refuses to eat something which is potentially going to heal him, and it's davar also, he said, what do you mean? You're trying to, why are you such a oibachuchem? You don't have to be more fum than the Torah. Shamzam once told somebody who refused to eat something which was teif, and he needed it as a refuah. He said, do you think you're fumed in the Rebbeinu Shlomo? That's Hashem Zalman's wording. Do you think you're fumed in the Rebbeinu Shlomo? Says, v'chai bohem. And you think you're fumed in the Rebbeinu Shlomo? Mitzvah kovet, it's a mitzvah latzal nafshev, k'diksev v'chai bohem, v'omu chazal, v'chai bohem, v'lo shiomus bohem. Torah Darshans, Gemara Darshans, v'chai bohem, you should live with them, v'lo shiomus bohem, and it shouldn't cause you to die. Hence, we're learning, if somebody is in a situation that... in a dangerous situation, you don't ask any questions. He's allowed to eat something which is properly forbidden. Some of the medicines nowadays also contain also. When it comes to medicine, I know the general rule is in the world of kashrus, authorities generally, when it comes to medicines which potentially could be used for dangerous dangerous illnesses, they don't even investigate it because it's by definition going to be permitted. If it's medicines which can be used for dangerous illnesses, there's no need to investigate its ingredients because it's going to be permitted anyway. Yeah. So, right. Now, interestingly, so that leads to the Ramon now. Mishnah Berurah says what he means as follows: Im sham in reishtalet, sham nisht nedin ze. V'nispar sham b'sif ches b'agod, im onzu lechol einu mevarch. Rabbi said, this is such a lomdish shaila. This is so beautiful. This could be a sheklali. The im onzu lechol einu mevarch. If somebody is forced, if comes along a person and he gives you a cheeseburger and he tells you eat it, otherwise I'm going to shoot. Chalila, you eat it, otherwise I'm going to shoot. You need to eat that cheeseburger. And he's forcing you to eat. Now, the halacha there is, in Sif Ches, the Imam Tzu, if a person is forced, lechol einu mevarch, you don't make a bracha. Afagav, you mochach lechol, that's a konam. It's dangerous. If a person is not going to eat it, he's going to get killed. He's forcing, you need to eat this tefer. I'm forcing you, otherwise. So there the halacha is, you don't make a bracha. So the Ramah, or the Mishnah Berurah, the way he's presenting it, is a question. So I don't understand. Over here you're learning, for medical purpose, we're learning, you do make a bracha. You do make a bracha, because it's dangerous. But over there in Reish Dalet, we're learning it different. We're learning that if a person is forced to eat, otherwise he's going to get killed, it's dangerous as well. He's forced, it's dangerous. Over there we learn you don't make a bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to be learning that it's a kasha. So what's your feeling? What do you tell now? Why is it not a mitzvah? Why is it not a mitzvah? You could be right, but why is it not a mitzvah? Yeah.
Because he's just doing it to save his life.
So what is the former?
Relating something positive.
It's indirect. Okay. Yeah. Well, very nice. Gabi said it's not that. He's not like actually getting an off from it. So you don't make a book as opposed to the first one. No, you could be touching on a very valid point. Yeah. And here it's indirect. Yeah, it's very nice swell as well. Lemaisa, the way the Mishnah Berurah learns is that really it's a kasha and it could be that the Ramah is choylik. Over here he leaves it schwer, but he seems to be learning that the Ramah is choylik. The way he seems to be presenting the case over here is that there's a machloikas. And they're both identical, and there's a machloikas, and the Ramah seems to be learning that in both cases you won't make a bracha. That's how the Mishnah Berurah seems to be learning over here. Not sure, but that's what it sounds to be. So therefore, according to that, Rabbi Feingold, it could be, according to Poshta Pshat in Mishnah Berurah, one could argue that you don't make a bracha on a medicine. If it's teif. It could be. So, yeah. Siv Gimel leads us to the next topic. Yeah, so it depends, I suppose, on which medicines. Yeah, but you're right, sometimes you won't. Correct. But if you're talking about some... Yeah.
So you say the broccoli, yeah. With water.
Correct. But you're talking about two different cases, I believe.
Yeah.
If you're not thirsty, and it's not full, yeah, that's right. So if you're taking
medicine with water...
And you're not thirsty. And you're not thirsty... You won't. Yeah, if you're thirsty, you can make a bracha. You should make a bracha. Correct. Yeah. Shloish shachach lo keachot. Three people are eating together. This is leading on from the former seif. Three people eat together. Now, Rabbi say two cases. Echad nizal bepas ovet kechovim. We need to hold cup. One of the three is careful not to eat pas ovet kechovim. Do you remember what pas ovet kechovim is? Pas hakum. We spoke about it recently. Pas akum, what's the halacha of pas akum? Is it also? Pas akum is also? Pas akum, bread, which was made by pardon? Good, right. So you're right. We definitely, absolutely, must be that ingredients are fine. Absolutely, otherwise, yeah. So pas akum is, the level of pas akum we're talking about over here, is it's a chumra not to eat. Okay, we learned there's two different types, and this is over here merely a chumra not to eat.
Pas palter as well.
Correct. This is talking about something which is a chumra not to eat. So you eat the gadin, you're allowed to. Yishmaim doesn't eat pasovik yichovim. V'echad eden is, one of them is makpit, one is not makpit. But clearly we're talking about a case that there's no ingredient shaila. One is makpit, one would never touch pas akum, he's machmir. And one of them is not machmir. He says, no, occasionally eat pas akum. Case number two. Oy echad mehem koyin, v'oichel chales, one of them is a koyin, who is allowed to eat chale. A koyin is allowed to eat chale if he's toher, and the challah is toher, koyin is allowed to eat challah. Afal pish ve'ochet chas. Now, going back to case number one, afal pish oyser sheniza einu yochel lechol, im oyser sheinu niza. In the former case, one person is not allowed to eat from the other person's bread, because he is careful not to eat pasakum. So he can't really eat the pasakum, so can he join Zimun or not? In a former case, case number one of them is makpid not to eat pasakum, the other one is not makpid. But the one who is makpid, can he do zimun over here? He doesn't eat pasakum. So as far as he's concerned, he can't eat that bread. Can he do zimun or not? Similarly, with regards to the kohen and the Israel, he can eat challah. Okay, shkoyach, he can eat challah. He's a kohen. But the Israel can't eat challah. Israel can't eat challah. He's not a kohen. He can't eat challah. So can he do zimun? He can't do zimun over here. It's bread, that challah bread is not allowed to eat. So Shulchan Aruch says, "Avol pisha oisoi sheniza, eni yochel echolim oisoi sheinu niza." Although in the case number one, he can't eat from the bread because he's makpid. V'lo yisraelim ha-kohen. Similarly also, the Israel can't eat from the kohen's bread because it's challah. But the halacha is, kevin she'oisa she'enu niza, yochel echolim ha-niza, v'akohenim ha-Israel. But there's one way system, it does work. The kohen can eat any bread. He can eat his bread, he can eat his own bread. Similarly also, the yid who is careful not to eat pasakum, he can eat, the yid who is not careful about pasakum, he can eat either his own bread or Yanim's bread. He can eat all types of bread. So since there is in both meals, there is a person who can eat everything and anything, so therefore, mitztafin, they will join out for Zimun. Haboy said, does it make sense? We have got two cases in which one person can't eat all the bread for halachic reasons. He can't. Either because he's makpid on pasakum and the other person is eating pasakum, or option number two, alternatively, because he's a kohen and he's eating challah, but the Israel can't eat from the kohen's bread because it's challah, he can't eat. So we have two cases in which not everybody can eat from everybody. Can they join for zimun or not? The halacha is, yes, they can. Why can they? Because at the end of the day, there's one person over here who can eat everything, so he can do zimun. Yeah. Yeah, but that's not what we're saying over here. Yeah. We're not really saying that, because at the end of the day, he cannot eat from Yenem's. The ray for that is going to be even neda. Do you remember Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Aleph? Even in food which is also as neda is also a problem as far as zimun is concerned. If I can't eat it, I can't do zimun is going to be problematic. Because zimun... Yeah, so if there would be a case, that's right, if there would be a case that one person is making an eidah on the bread, I'm not eating that, but the other person can, yeah, very good, you'd be allowed to, yeah, correct. Yeah, okay, continues the Shulchan Aruch. What would be the case, Rabbi Yisrael, what would be the case if one person is a kohen, and the kohen is makpit about pas akum? Can we just pretend... Yeah, can we just have this? Rabbi Kagan, who is a Kohen, he's makpid not to eat pas akum. And I am an Israel, and I can't. So, and now, is the third person who can be any type. Can we do a Zimun over here or not? The answer is Zimun, you can't have Zimun over here. Why not? Because me, I can't have challah, because I'm Israel. And Rabbi Kagan, who is, and let's say I'm eating pas akum, so you won't be able to eat from the pasakum because you're makpid not to eat pasakum. So therefore, there's no way that we can all share, and therefore it's going to be problematic. Yeah.
What if it's not halachic? It's like allergic.
Very good question. That's a really interesting question. What if the problem is not halachic, but it's for allergic reasons?
Still halachic because you're not allowed
Yeah, very good. Going back to the halacha of. If it is sakana, then you're definitely right. But not all the allergies cause direct sakanas.
I guess it's the threshold.
Yeah. You're right, definitely. If it causes somebody to have a proper allergic reaction, then it's definitely right. It would be also for him to eat it, and therefore would be a problem. Continue Shulchan Aruch. Avalim oyu kohenim v'zor oyu she'ochlim ke'echad v'kohenim oyuchlim chalo v'nizor mipasul oyv kechovim v'azor oyuchl pasul oyv kechovim. The scenario we just explained. Einu mitstafim, it doesn't join for zimun. V'adin ishloisha shimudorin zem izeh. Going back to Rabbi Kagan, very similar to Rabbi Kagan's case, three people are eating together and everybody is knowing that I don't want to eat your bread, you say you don't eat my bread, and we both agree that we don't eat third person's bread, who he doesn't want to eat our bread. So if it's that kind of relationship, anyway, probably don't want to do Zimun anyway. But if that kind of is matter, then all of the enemies staff from Zimun, they won't do Zimun, they won't be able to join up Zimun. For Dafka Shekol Echot Oichal Mekikore, this is only if they all eat from their own bread. Avalim Oichal Mekikor Palabais Mitstafim, but if there's one joint, there's one communal bread in the middle, then it's going to be different. To Oichal Mekikor Echot, there's going to be one communal source of bread, then you can actually do Zimun. So, right. There is a fascinating discussion over in Mishtabura, and that discussion is going to lead to other topics of halacha, which we're going to address tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, about what happens if a person is eating milching or a person eating fleishig. Okay, I'm going to leave that as a question for tonight. How about say two people are eating milching and fleishig? One person is eating milching, one person is eating fleishig, and the third person is eating. No. Actually, let's two people fleishig and one person milching. Okay, can it join for Zimun or not? Can emerge for Zimun or not? Two fleishig, one milchik. Can. You can't eat the same table. So with regards to the table, I'm going to bypass that problem. Talach with regards to the table, you can sort that. If there's a hekah, there is a recognizable item which serves as a reminder, very similar to halachas in the same concept. So if there's a recognizable item that is put, then it's a hekah, it's a reminder, serves as a reminder, and one person eating fleishig, one person eating milchik is accepted on the same table. What would be the halacha? Two people eating fleishig, one person milchik. Can you join for Zimun or not?
Yeah.
Majority. What if two people eating milchik, one person eating fleishig?
No.
One milchik, two fleishig, two milchik. Also for the other person. Good. But following this concept that we learned tonight, will be a problem. So we'll address that tomorrow, Mitzvah. Fascinating, very important Mishnah Berurah, which is also going to tell us a thing or two about milchik generally, about cheeses, the halacha with regards to weighting of cheeses. This is the Mishnah Berurah that is widely quoted and misquoted, about waiting after cheese, hard cheese, soft cheese. We'll discuss that in Mitzvah tomorrow. To recap what we covered tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we learned that if a person is eating also, there's one whole area of halacha with regards to making brachas. And we learned that if a person is eating something, also if it's for medical purpose, you do make a bracha on the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama refers to Simon Reish Talet, and over there the halacha may be that if a person is forced to eat something, the halacha is that it doesn't make a bracha. So it appears as a machloikas Shulchan Aruch Mishtabur, although Mishtabur does refer to that, but it's, at the first glance, it may be a machloikas. So that's the concept with regards to bracha. Then we moved on with regards to Zimun, generally speaking. And what's the halacha with regards to three people who ate together, and one person is makpino to eat something else, or one person is a kohen, he can't eat, and others, the Yisraelim, can't eat challah. What's the halacha then? We learned that as long as there's one person who can eat everything, you can do Zimun. However, if you've got a case that all three can't eat from one another, then Zimun can't work. Zimun can't work. The Ramot does point out, if there's a communal source of bread that everybody takes from there, then the halacha is that Zimun actually does work, because there's one makor, and then the Zimun actually would work. But that's what we cover tonight, and more to be discussed on a similar topic tomorrow.